WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the College Football Wrap-Up Show, off-season edition, here on 90.7 The Capstone. As always, I'm Nicholas Persley, joined by Joe Schatz and Adam Hambray. How are we doing, gents?
I'm doing good today. Overall, pretty boring weekend, which is nice at this time of the year. I'll take that over having to do a whole bunch of assignments and projects and stuff, but I know it's not going to stay that way for long, so I'm just enjoying this while I can.
The calm before the storm. Yes.
Yeah. I'm doing all right. You know, very successful weekend for Alabama Athletics. I got a little sunburnt at the baseball game today, but it was worth it. Got the first series win of the season. So,
yeah. So we're going to get right into things. You know, we missed you last week. I know I did. But the week before that, we talked through the coaches in the SEC West and kind of ranked them in our tier list. So we're going to do the same thing today, but for the SEC East. Yep. So how about we get right into it? I don't know where to start. Do we have any preferences on where we want to start?
I think we all know who's at the top. So we'll start at, start at the top, work our way down.
Okay. Sure. Let's get it off. Kirby Smart at Georgia. I'll do a quick run through of the tiers. We got Saban tier, Saban-esque, playoff caliber, solid, hot seat, and then a wait and see, which I don't think we're going to use today, but we'll see. Yeah. This one's pretty obvious. To me, I think he's Saban-esque. He is not there yet. Now, I'll tell you one thing that would certainly put Kirby Smart in the Saban tier is winning a third national championship back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, if he wins...
Like, no question. Yeah.
If he wins three in a row, definitely in the conversation. Put him in the Saban-esque. We already know he's been playoff caliber. You know, he's won two national championships last 2 years. Yeah. And he was in a third one where they lost to Alabama, second and 26. You know, very, very good game. But right now, they are in a very... good position to be the first team to win three in a row since when was the last time it happened? Did Nebraska do it in the 90s?
That
I will do some research. I don't remember if they won three in a row. I think they did. But if not, there's like 1 year in between, but they won three national championships in the 90s. But three in a row, you got to put them like...
Yeah, he's up there.
But granted, we'll get into it a little bit later, but they have one of the weakest strength of schedules this season. But... once you get in the playoff, you still beat those teams. You know, you still win. So I'd be right there with you, Saban-esque.
Yeah, no complaints from me, Saban-esque for sure. You know, he's definitely top of the SEC East, but not quite at Saban's level. But you know, who knows? I mean, maybe in a couple of years we have a different conversation. But for right now, just a little bit below him.
So it looks like Minnesota is the only team that has ever won three in a row.
That would have been like,
from 1934 to 36.
In the 30s, yeah.
Which, you know, prime football, prime college football year.
I mean, that was the Golden Gophers generation.
That is true.
Put that coach in the Saban tier.
Look, Kirby Smart has been great at Georgia. He has a fantastic bowl record. And he's only lost the national championship one time when he got there. So, I mean, he's been fantastic. And I think the real question at this point is who's going to stop them? Yep. Like, who's going to stop Georgia? Now,
no one on their
Alabama
schedule.
Is 2-1 against them in the last three games. Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Didn't get the chance this past season.
Yeah, so with Kirby against Alabama, he'd had the best record against Alabama. You know, he's only got one win, I believe, against Nick Saban, but it wasn't a national championship game. Now, in the first national championship game they faced off, that was, I believe, 2017, January 2018, when the game took place. And, you know, they had a very good game plan coming out. We made the switch to Tua. We end up winning the game in overtime. The next year, the SEC championship game, you know, we had Tua in, very good game plan to begin with, and then we put Jalen Hurts in, and they weren't able to respond really to Jalen Hurts when he got in. You know, we won that game. And then, you know, we beat them in that SEC championship game with Bryce Young throwing all over the place to Jameson Williams. John Metchie gets his torn ACL. Then the national championship game, you know, he has Jameson Williams tears his ACL then. So we didn't really see what a full Alabama team would have done if they would have won that. But, you know, he got that win. And then last year, you know, they undefeated 15-0. And I know some people would like to say, you know, they only had to play TCU in the national championship. Yeah, but they beat them by 60. So
yeah,
that's very true. So I'm not going to go straight into Tennessee. We're going to make people wait for that one because I feel like we're going to have some good arguments about that one. Let's do South Carolina. Let's do Shane Beamer. Where do we think Shane Beamer falls on the tier list right now?
I have him right now as solid. I think what he came into with South Carolina, I mean, if you told them that just in a couple years of his tenure, they would have beaten their big rivals in Clemson. They would have had a really strong finish. They would have had like an attractive offer to recruit a Spencer Rattler to transfer there. I think he's done a pretty good job there of getting South Carolina kind of back to being somewhat relevant in the East, you know, more so than they had been under, you know, I'm trying to think, was it Muschamp before him? So, I mean, he's definitely improved them there, but he's not player of caliber yet, maybe ever at South Carolina, but I put him at solid.
Yeah, right now I'd probably put him at solid. The real big thing was last year, you know, those last two games of regular season, beating mm-hmm. Tennessee, beating Clemson. If they'd went in, lost both those games, it'd probably be a very different conversation today. But, you know, with two very high profile wins, you know, I think he's solid. Obviously, he still needs a little bit longer to maybe, if they can win the East, I don't know, it's going to be tough with Kirby Smart in Georgia and then with how good Tennessee's playing now. But, you know, South Carolina, you know, they really hadn't been really relevant since Steve Spurrier left. So if he can start having, you know, seasons like that, beating top 10 teams, you know, every year, every other year, you know, he's going to be solid there.
Yeah. Just as an aside, the fact that South Carolina is trying to go by USC now is just an embarrassment. Come on, guys. Like, can we think that through, really?
What was the alternative? U of SC?
Google USC right now and tell me who comes up. Like, that's all I have to say to that.
The Southern right? University of Southern California. Actually, exactly. University of Southern California Upstate comes up.
Oh, okay.
That's even more. They're the real USC.
Who has the real claim to USC? But Shane Beamer's been great. I do think that those two wins at the end of the year, and they are great wins, don't get me wrong. Yeah. That win against Tennessee. Now, people are always like, oh, well, Hendon Hooker got hurt. That game was well over before Hendon Hooker got hurt.
Yeah.
They were dominating Tennessee, who was looking on their way to a playoff berth.
Yeah, and really, then, if they win that game, they're in the playoff.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a fantastic win. And then obviously beating Clemson, super close game. I mean, South Carolina was really good TV there for the last 2 weeks of the regular season. So I think he's done great so far. His first year, you know, they go 7-6, 3-5 in the SEC, and they won the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah, no, that was an all-time moment.
Yeah, that's a career highlight right there. And then obviously this past year they lose in the Gator Bowl, but they finish number 23 in the AP. 4-4 in conference, really saved by those two huge ranked wins at the end of the season. But
because I mean, you know, they did lose to Missouri and then they lost to Florida with a win in Vanderbilt sandwiched in between those, and it's like, okay, they're gonna lose the last two games, you know, it's just another South Carolina year.
Yeah. They had some great wins, but they also had some really weird losses. So you know, I've got Shane Beamer and solid, and I feel like there's a lot of hype around them right now. Whether that's justified or not, I don't know, but you know, we'll see where it pans out. So next, let's go to Mark Stoops at Kentucky. This should be an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, I have him at solid just because I don't think Kentucky is a playoff caliber job. Like, I don't think Mark Stoops, I think he's a really good coach, and I think what he's kind of done with Kentucky, considering his first year they went 2-10, and now like a 10-win season has been had, you know, they've had a couple 10-win seasons with him. They're bordering right around that 7-8 win mark under his tenure. So you know, he had a stretch, I guess it ended last year actually, where he won four straight bowl games prior to last season. So, I mean, what he's done at Kentucky is great. I have him at solid, but I think he could move up. I just don't know if that's feasible for Kentucky to be a playoff team.
Yeah, with the body of work, definitely solid. I think the last 2 years or 2 or 3 years has been kind of disappointing. I mean, Kentucky's going to take that no matter what. But, you know, the last couple of years have been years where they've had fairly talented teams, and some people had predicted them. Not like this past year, you know, everybody was all in on Georgia. There was a couple of years there where they were saying, you know, this could be Kentucky's year to win the East. And then, you know, injuries happened or they just didn't perform as well people thought. So the last couple of years have been kind of disappointing. But the body of work, and you're at Kentucky, he's never going to really get to that playoff caliber there, I don't think. But he's also, with the seasons he's got, he's never going to get put on the hot seat either. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where we say Kentucky is anything but a basketball school. Even, you know, in the past, like, couple years when we're starting to question that even.
We are starting to question that.
But, I mean, it's got to be solid, right? I mean, he's done what is expected of him at Kentucky. And they've even had some really good years, 2021, 10-3. I mean, that is unbelievably solid for Kentucky. And even this year, you know, like, they had some really close losses. Like, they lost by 10 points to Georgia. That's as much of a moral victory as you can get. They lost by 3 points to Vanderbilt, who was a lot better this year. We'll get into that. You know, but they had an early ranked win against Florida, who, you know, didn't end up being that good, but still at the time, you know, you only lost by 3 points to Ole Miss early in the year, 10 points to South Carolina.
That Ole Miss game, you know, that was, they, you know, if Will Levis doesn't turn the ball over that late in the game, they might win that game too.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, so I mean, a lot of like close losses. I think this last season was better than a lot of people are going to give them credit for. There's a bit of a pattern developing here with Kentucky, where you kind of have a really good year and then a mid year, you know. So we'll kind of see. Maybe they're starting to become more of an everything school a little bit. Maybe you got to see where it keeps going. But they had lots of close losses. But they also lost 21-0 to Iowa at the end of the year, which giving up 3 touchdowns to that Iowa offense is
What's really funny is, you know, not too long ago, there were rumors that he was going to take the Iowa job when Kirk Ferentz left. But, you know, I was in the boat where I thought he should stay at Kentucky, because if Iowa had hired him, it would have been he's expected to turn that program around.
Right.
At Kentucky, he's pretty much already got, you know, he doesn't really have a lifetime contract, but it's like, you know, he can do no wrong there right now. You know?
I think he's playing with house money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said, but I have him in the solid year. Where to go next? Let's go Florida. Billy Napier.
Yeah. So this one is a little controversial. I was talking to Nick prior to the show. I actually have Billy Napier in the hot seat. I think that the nature of that job, a 6-7 season in which they started the season so hot with that big win over Utah and then pretty much just fizzled out. I mean, it didn't impress me all that much. And coming from Louisiana Lafayette, I didn't know if this was natural, if this was necessarily going to fit at the time that they hired him. But I think it's just, I mean, I think his seat's getting really hot down there. They, especially, I don't know if you guys saw the whole stuff about their spring game, how they were going to have the super high-powered offense, and it was a 10-7 win for one of the teams. And it was 7-7 in the fourth quarter, and nobody could score. So I am – and I don't think their defense is that good. So I think he's on the hot seat in Gainesville.
Yeah, I didn't really know where to put him. I don't think he did a terrible job last year. Now, obviously, there were some games where it's like, what are you doing? Like, how did that happen? But I thought he did an okay job for how early he is in his, you know, Florida, you know, tenure. That being said, you lose Anthony Richardson, who might be the number one pick in the draft now. You don't know. But now you have that spring game, and then you have his press conference after the spring game, where they literally ask him, are you still looking for a quarterback? And he goes, yeah, we're looking to add another guy at that position, which is fine. But you basically just told every quarterback on your team, like, y'all are trash, and I'm going to the transfer portal to find a new guy because y'all cannot win for me. So I would probably have him in the hot seat just because of where it looks like the team is going. But he's like right at that line for me. I mean,
to think that like last season they were 4-2 and then finished 6-7. Yeah. You know, they that included losses to Vanderbilt. I mean, there are a couple of wins were A&M and South Carolina, which weren't really all that inspiring. You know, I think the way he ended the season last year and then going into this season, it's not looking good for Florida.
Yeah, you know, look, I'm going to put Billy Napier in solid. And my reasoning is that I believe you should get some buffer years when you get a new job. Now, a lot of fan bases don't believe in that. You coach at Texas? Nope, not going to happen. You coach at Auburn? You don't get those years, right? The expectation is you come in and you got to win now. You don't get those kind of buffer years that you would get at other places. Look, I think, you know, he had really good results with Louisiana, right? Before he came there, I can't even recall what their record. I know it was really, really good.
He had some fantastic years. Yeah, I think he had a 10-win season every year except his first year there.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he was only there 4 years, but still.
You know, and they started this past season off super hot. I mean, you beat number 7 Utah, who a lot of people were like, oh, this is a playoff team. This is a playoff caliber team. And immediately you shut them down very first game of the season. They also had some close losses, you know. What is that? A 5-point loss to Tennessee early in the year. 10-point loss to LSU. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So like that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, early in the year, doing really good. In the season, kind of poorly. But, you know, you're early in your career at Florida. This is, you know, that was his first year at Florida.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I usually think you need at least 3 years. And it's not like you have to be in the SEC championship game in 3 years, but you at least got to show improvement. Now, we'll see. My thing was how the season ended, like Joe was saying, and then his comments basically like, the players I have here, I'm looking to replace like already. And it's just not a good look. Now, with his record at Louisiana, I got it pulled up. Overall record 40-12. First year there, went 7-7, lost the bowl game. Each year they were first in their division of the conference. 2019, 11-3. They won the bowl game that year, the Lending Tree Bowl. 2020, 10-1. They won the First Responder Bowl. 2021, he was 12-1. They go to the New Orleans Bowl, but he leaves for Florida before the bowl game. So, very solid. Obviously, you can see it's like he had a 6-7 year this past year. He might turn around and have a 10-win season this year. We don't know. It just doesn't look like it right now. And if he goes in and he has another season where it's like, you know, you win 5-6 games, that's when, with the nature of Florida, they might already be like, okay, we might need to go somewhere else.
Very true. Let's go to Missouri. Elijah Drinkwitz. I'm going to be honest, I had to do a lot of research for this one.
Yeah, I did too. I have him in solid tier because Missouri's just a really tough place to try and compete in the SEC. I mean, I think he's done an all right job considering Missouri, so I just have him in solid.
Yeah, I mean, once again, you know, he hasn't really been – I mean, he's been there 3 years. This past year was his third year, 5-5, 6-7, 6-7. It's just – it's really – what is Missouri looking for? Like, what do we expect out of Missouri? Because, like, we're not really expecting much. You know, we're expecting just a middle-of-the-road, maybe even a bottom-tier, you know, East team, you know, ahead of Vanderbilt at least. Right now, for Missouri, I think it's like, you know, solid. They'd like to do a little bit better, but, you know, I'm not really hearing the rumors of like, oh, if he doesn't do good this year, he's going to get fired. Yeah. So, you know, you would like to see – he had 1 year at Appalachian State before he came to Missouri, and there he went 12-1. So, it's – you know, once again, did well at a smaller school. He just hasn't done it at Missouri, but you're also – you joined the SEC East right when the Georgia dynasty was starting up. So,
yeah, I mean, I also have him in solid. You know, before the show, I was looking for a descriptor, like to describe how my week has been. And I was looking for something that's just painfully mid. And that would be Misery. Right? I think that was the perfect fit.
Yes.
You know, it's not the same as Kentucky, but kind of the same where, like, not a lot of is expected of you. You're playing with house money. I mean, come in, you know, you have a, what have they gone the last 2 years, 6-7, 3-5, you know. I think you're fine. I mean, nothing like too special. He did just get a contract extension, which the I'm trying to find where it is here. Oh, yeah. Here's the Wikipedia quote. Despite having three consecutive losing seasons, the inexperienced athletic director at Missouri still gave Eli a contract extension. I thought that was funny. I can't believe somebody actually wrote that.
Yeah, but I'm kind of...
It's a little biased, but...
Yeah, I mean, Missouri is just one of those places where if you just make a bowl game every year, you'll be hired forever. So yeah. He's done that so far, so he's solid.
So, I mean, just pretty mid, solid. Let's go Josh Heupel at Tennessee. I have a feeling we're going to have some fun with this one.
I have him, and this is, I will admit, almost strictly based off of last season. I have him in playoff caliber. Just what he's done at Kentucky, or sorry, Tennessee, not Kentucky. What he's done at Tennessee, considering his first year they were 7-6. And they actually, like, I feel like that team looked a little better. I mean, they came into Alabama, and that was a relatively competitive game until late. You know, and then last season, obviously, they have the really historic season where we were talking about, you know, had they beaten South Carolina, they probably would have been into the playoff. You know, they beat Alabama. They have a really good year. And, you know, I think he's gotten Tennessee to where their expectations are playoff caliber or playoff, especially when they expand to 12. So I think he's a playoff caliber coach.
So I'm not going to say playoff caliber yet. I'm going to say he's a solid coach, but I'm looking through, you know, his coaching record, right? And so he is the head coach at UCF, University of Central Florida, the year after they have their national championship where they went undefeated and claimed the national championship. I can't remember what poll it was that had them number one, but it's a recognized poll, so technically they can claim the national championship. So he goes in there, and the first year, obviously, this is before transfer portal had really started up, and you know, a lot of players still on that team. I don't remember exactly how many people they lost that year, but you know, they go 12-1. They end up going to the Fiesta Bowl. They lose that one. The next year, 10-3. They win the Gasparilla Bowl. His last year at UCF, 6-4, 5-3. We don't know what the trajectory would have been. We don't know if it was going to keep going downhill or if he was going to build it back up. We don't know that because he immediately got the Tennessee job when the athletic director from UCF got the athletic director job at Tennessee. And then he hired the coach he had at UCF. So I don't really know how much of it was he just really felt like this was the right guy for the job at Tennessee, or if he just brought him in because this is the guy I had at UCF and I want to bring him with me. Now, you can do that. That's fine. And last year showed like it probably wasn't a bad decision. His first year at Tennessee, 7-6. Last year, 11-2. Probably should have been in the playoff, but they weren't. And you saw what happened when South Carolina, who was coming off a very poor performance the week before, and then you can't stop them. And really, you know, the defense of Tennessee was not the best all year. You know, Alabama lit them up too. We just didn't win the game. But I'd put him at solid. I'm not going to put him in playoff caliber yet because when the season was on the line there, and you can talk about Hendon Hooker getting hurt in the game, but you had already lost it. Like,
that's true.
I need to see a better win. You have to win the game, and it's not like you – obviously, they lost to Georgia earlier, but it wasn't like, oh, we need to win against Georgia 2 weeks left in the season. It was South Carolina, and South Carolina hadn't really looked that good. Now, credit to – what South Carolina was able to do and Shane Beamer. But right now, I think that last performance kind of keeps him out of playoff caliber for me and still in that solid category.
I see what you're saying. But here's the thing for me. I think he's playoff caliber purely because the expectations have been raised, right?
Okay.
An 11-2 year where you should have been in the playoffs. Now, look, that South Carolina loss is brutal. I mean, you literally, your defense made Spencer Rattler look like a 99 overall. I mean, it was crazy. And that was a fantastic game. I remember watching that and just being in shock that Tennessee was really going to lose and that it was getting that bad. And obviously, Hendon Hooker getting hurt doesn't help the final score. But like we said, the game was lost already. But the thing is for me is that, like, you just wait and listen to what these Tennessee fans are going to say next year. Like, how much hype there's going to be coming into this next season, coming off a season where you almost made the playoff, or you should have made the playoff, honestly. I mean, they were writing the book to commemorate their season halfway through the year. That's how excited they were. Yeah. You know, you beat Alabama, it's like, you know, you won the Super Bowl, basically.
One win in 15 years and, you know, throwing goalposts in the river and everything, you know.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
But, like, you know, if they would have had a year more like the first year, you know, 7-6, 8-5 maybe. I'm not putting you in the playoff caliber tier because the expectations aren't that high yet. You still got more time. But, you know, fans are not going to be happy if, you know, coming off a fantastic year, you come out next year and you're mid, you know,
yeah.
Or don't. I think, like, this next year is very telling. Like, you need to make the playoffs. So
we'll see.
The expectations have been raised at Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I believe all we have left is Clark Leah at
Vanderbilt.
Yes, at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't know why we saved this guy for last.
This is the best coach in the East. What are we talking about?
Yeah. So I have him saving. No, I he's a solid coach. I mean, all things considered, Vanderbilt is easily the hardest job. In the entire SEC, like, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, for them, he took them, he was 2-10, I believe, in his first year. It took them to 5-7, had a couple kind of very memorable wins for Vanderbilt. I mean, first off, they start their season scoring 63 points on the road against Hawaii. They had a couple better wins in there, like at Kentucky, they beat Florida. To kind of the last couple games of the year, but 5-7 at Vanderbilt's practically lifetime contract worthy for that school. So he's a very solid coach, and I think, you know, he's actually done a really good job at Vanderbilt. So
don't forget about the Elon win.
That's true too. Yeah,
see, you know, I think, you know, he has raised the expectations of Vanderbilt is not a place where you go to be like the long-term coach. You go there as a stepping stone. And for this guy, I think it was his first year, he went 2-10. This past year, 5-7. So that's a huge improvement from first year to second year. And you have the win at Hawaii. You beat Elon. Then you had Wake Forest. You lost 45-25. Wake Forest was a pretty decent team last year. You beat Northern Illinois on the road. You're 3-1. And then your next three games
are talking playoffs.
At Alabama, Ole Miss, at Georgia.
Yeah.
Not a great three-game stretch. You lose all three of them. You did put up 28 points against Ole Miss. And, you know, Ole Miss hired a new defensive coordinator, so maybe their defense will be a little bit better this year. You know, they got a
– well, not according to the spring game.
Good old Pete Golding, but – yeah, but, you know, you ended your season. They lost to Tennessee last week, but they did have a win at Kentucky and then the win over Florida where they stormed the field single file.
Yeah.
So,
and very organized.
Truly epic. How does the SEC find them for that? That's garbage.
I don't know how you find Vanderbilt. I'm like, what? Just let him celebrate.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. You know, they haven't really had, you know, an actual good football season since, you know, James Franklin was there, probably. And, you know, he was able to take his performance as the Vanderbilt head coach and get a job at Penn State. So we'll see how he goes. I got him in solid just from the improvement from year one to year two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give him solid, right? I mean, this is like the Super Bowl year for Vanderbilt. I mean, two wins, you know, beat Kentucky on the road, beat Florida at home. I mean, that's a successful season. I mean, Vanderbilt, if there are Vanderbilt football fans, I mean, you got to be thrilled.
I know somebody who grew up in Nashville, and he was basically talking like the only people that were actually Vanderbilt fans in Nashville were the people that went to school there and like their kids. Everybody else was just Tennessee fans.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's be real. I mean, it's going to be impossible for Vanderbilt to compete in the SEC. I mean, especially when, you know, you got to hold up those academic standards. I mean, that makes it even harder.
Yeah.
At least they got baseball.
That's true.
And they won the bowling national championship. They won that today. So
and they're really good at golf. Could be looking at SEC and potentially a golf national championship this year, which if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about Vanderbilt, I don't know what is. But yeah, I mean, there's low expectations here. You know, you win a couple games, whatever fans you have are going to be happy. So, and especially with that nightmare schedule, Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's
I feel bad. And then you got to end your year getting 56-0 by Tennessee after they had just blown their chance to make the playoff.
You know, it was funny. Obviously, they didn't win that game. But if they had beat Tennessee, I can't remember how many years it had been. But the last time they had won three straight games, it was literally at Kentucky, Florida, and Tennessee. It was the same three-game stretch. I don't remember what year it was, but it was everybody was talking about it, how it was going to be, you know, a repeat of history. It didn't happen, but it was fun while it lasted.
The next step for Vanderbilt is to get your game somewhere other than the SEC network. Get it on ESPN2. If we can get to ESPN2, we're kicking.
You know what? And if that doesn't, ESPNU is fine by me.
That's very
they
true.
They can play Hawaii again, who for all we care. Just get them on ESPN, guys.
It would be epic. When we come back here on 90.7, we're going to talk through a lot of these team schedules, and we're going to talk about what would be a successful season for the next year. We'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back in, folks. Here,
hopefully you're still awake.
Getting
hopefully,
sleepy.
Hopefully you're still
college
awake.
College football wrap-up show here on 90.7, off-season edition. We hope you're still awake, especially when our intro music hit. But speaking of being awake, we're talking schedules for the SEC East, and I've got to take you through this absolute heater that Georgia's got to go through. I mean,
talk
this
about
is
sleeping.
The gauntlet. Like, they're stepping on Legos the whole way there.
They want to win three in a row. They got to do some major work.
Yeah, this is big time, folks. Get prepped. Okay. We got UT Martin at home. First game of the season. Ooh, that's going to be a tough one.
I'm going the Skyhawks by five.
And then we got Ball State.
The Cardinals.
It's so good. And then you get Beamer Ball, South Carolina.
You know, out of any upset that could happen, that's the one I want.
That's like you're playing your first team that can actually walk and play football. that might stress people out.
I don't remember if it was a few years ago, like South Carolina beat them like 17-14, and like their quarterback could like barely walk off the field at the end of the thing. If there's any upset that happens, that's the one I want. I want South Carolina Shane Beamer.
Okay, you guys may say South Carolina is going to be an upset, but I got the real one for you. UAB and Trent the newly Dilfer. Hired Trent Dilfer.
Listen, as a Ravens fan, that guy won a Super Bowl. So let's put some respect on his name when the Blazers come to town, and maybe they'll only lose by like 40.
Yeah. True. So I really like UAB. You know, Bill Clark, loved him as the coach. This was one of the the one hire that like they got announced and you were like, what?
Yeah.
Like I know it's UAB.
It was like that.
What are you doing?
We were laughing
about
this.
Was he a high school football coach in Tennessee?
Yeah, we were laughing about this before we came on the air because like I had forgot that they actually hired Trent Dilfer. It's hilarious. So then after those four heaters at home, you gotta go on the road to play Auburn. Okay. A little more respect.
Might have the Jordan.
Yeah, we now enter the SEC schedule.
then you play Kentucky at home. and then you go on the road to play Vanderbilt. Guys, this they're on
field
upset
storming?
Alert.
Field storming?
Single file field storming.
You think if, like, so, like, not to be mean to Vanderbilt, but, like, they are historic for letting opposing fan bases just run their stadium. Do you think, like, if that game was packed with red, like, you think Georgia just storms the field too? You know, big road win?
This is what I have wanted, and you would have to do it. It would either have to be a bye week or just, like, a really poor game. But if there's ever a time when, like, Tennessee is there the last week, that's always when the Iron Bowl happens, so that's not going to happen. But if you could just have, like, one time where, like, a bunch of, like, Alabama fans just got together, bought up all the tickets in Vanderbilt, went and supported Vanderbilt against whoever they were playing, like, that would just be cool to me. But
that would be cool.
You know what? October 14th, what are we doing?
that could be a real, yeah, that's going to be the trip to head to Vanderbilt to,
yes,
cheer on the Commodores. Then October 21st, they've got an open day. You might as well just schedule a JUCO at this point. It would be
you know,
fitting
no,
for the schedule.
No, okay. That's a tough schedule that they got to play. They got to rest. They got that bye week. They need the bye week.
Could they schedule a high school team? Is that possible?
Probably Trent Dilfer's old school. get them up there.
They're ready to go. And then they're going to play Florida in Jacksonville.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Neutral site rivalry game. Our favorites.
Mm. Neutral site in, like, the biggest quotation marks you've ever seen. Yeah. Then they got Missouri at home, Ole Miss at home, and then at Tennessee and at Georgia Tech.
The rambling wreck.
I mean, this schedule can't be real, right?
And then realistically, they have the SEC championship after
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Realistically.
So it's funny because, you know, it's the best team in at least the SEC East, presumably in the SEC, depending on what, you know, comes out of the West. And it may be Tennessee. You don't know. But Georgia, a successful season for them. You know, obviously, fan base wants to win three in a row. They have to at least make the SEC championship game, because if that doesn't happen, they're going to lose their minds.
Yeah.
I'll say two things. Okay, so A, the Alabama doesn't play anybody debate, the cupcake schedule that people always say we have. Look at this. This is the real cupcake schedule right here. Imagine if Alabama had this schedule.
Just know they will be playing, I guess they'll be playing South Carolina the week we play Texas. So, you know. A little different.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, wait. No, sorry. They're playing Ball State that week. Never mind. Sorry. Way different.
Read the schedule wrong.
Way different.
Look, if you cannot, like, if you have one loss at this schedule, that's bad.
Yeah.
You should go undefeated.
I could feasibly see. I think they will go undefeated. I could maybe see them losing at Tennessee late in the year. But that's an if, and that's a really big if Tennessee is still, you know, the 11-2 caliber team we saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll go to the next team real quick, going through the schedule. A little bit tougher than Georgia's, but just a little bit. So this is most likely the second best team in the East with the second weakest schedule in the entire, in the SEC East. It's 11th overall in the SEC. So they start off week one, Virginia in Nashville. Now, neutral site, but it's in Tennessee. Yeah. But at least it's Virginia. At least you're trying, like, at this point. You're not
a FBS school.
Yeah. And then, but then they got Austin Peay. Okay. Well, you know, then at Florida, week three, Texas San Antonio, which I believe did win their conference last
year. Respect for scheduling UTSA. That's a good team.
They were a very good team.
And then South Carolina at home, then the bye week, then Texas A&M at Alabama, at Kentucky, UConn at home. So that kind of pulls their schedule down a little bit. at Missouri.
Just a little.
Georgia, and then, you know, best rivalry in the SEC, Tennessee and Vanderbilt, last week of the season, you know. So,
yeah. Can Vanderbilt score this year?
We'll see. You know, for me, with the expectations of last year, just like I said with Georgia, Tennessee, for this to be considered a successful season for the fan base, for the athletic department, they need to be in the SEC championship.
True. Yeah. I would say you need to make the playoffs. realistically, you can lose to Alabama, you can lose to Georgia.
You can.
Yes. But the fan base is not going to be happy.
No.
No.
Especially if they aren't, like, really close games. You could get away with losing to both those teams and, like, one of the games is, like, a field goal.
Yep.
But. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Up next, Kentucky. They have a football team.
that is the best intro.
After a rough basketball season, week one, Ball State packed house at Kroger Field.
Oh, the in-state rivalry, though.
What?
The in-state rivalry the next week.
Yeah, next week, Eastern Kentucky. Ooh. Probably not who we thought would be the in-state rival, but Eastern Kentucky week two. Then Akron at home. Week three, the Zips. And then big road test at Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt's coming for the Natty this
to kind of open up their SEC schedule. Then they have Florida at home, at Georgia, in Athens. Tough kind of three games. Maybe, you know, you got Florida at Georgia, then Missouri, then you go to a bye week, and then Tennessee at home, at Mississippi State,
at the Cowbells.
The Cowbells, yeah. And then Alabama at home, which was kind of an interesting
I am schedule, doing whatever I can to be at that game,
because that I don't think that's happened since. I think it was like 2011.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think
Alabama went to Kentucky. Then they end the year at South Carolina and at Louisville. I'll get it real quickly. We talked about this before. Kentucky, just eight wins. Any combination of wins would do. I think they'll probably start 4-0, maybe 5-0 if they beat Florida. But realistically, I think they're losing at Georgia. I think Tennessee will get them, Alabama, and then they might have another one in there too. So I think 7-8 wins is about what to expect.
Yeah, I think we're all going to be kind of in the same boat here. You know, need to at least be in the bowl game. Mm-hmm. I would like the 8 wins. You know, you – for Kentucky, you want to be, when you're looking at all the other teams this year coming in, you want to be at least in that third place finish in the East behind mm-hmm. Georgia and Tennessee.
Yeah, great season, 3 losses. Acceptable season, 4 or 5 losses.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in there. Make a bowl game.
Yeah.
You make a bowl game, yeah.
Make a bowl game, and it was a success. So next up, we got South Carolina. Interesting schedule. They got North Carolina in Charlotte for the opening week. Furman at Georgia, Mississippi State at Tennessee.
It's kind of a brutal road schedule.
They have a rough schedule.
I mean, they do have Missouri, but you get to that. Okay.
Then they've got the bye. Florida at home, at Missouri, at A&M. Then you get a little bit of a break. Jacksonville State at home. Vanderbilt, tough game. Kentucky and Clemson, 4-game home stretch to end the year.
Yeah, that's really good for them. Now, I was so upset the week they were playing Jacksonville State. So I went to one semester at Jacksonville State before I went into the military. So I saw Jacksonville State was going to be playing South Carolina, and I was like, ooh, I kind of want to go to that game. And then it's not on Alabama's bye week, so it's not going to happen. I'm not going to go all the way to South Carolina. But for South Carolina itself, kind of the same boat kind of with Kentucky. You know, you want to get to 7 wins. Like, you want to get to a bowl game, but you don't want to be in that 6-6. Like, you want to be 7-5. Yeah. And then if they improve on that, you know, in this year with Shane Beamer, you know, that would be really good.
Yeah, I think that kind of what you said there, spot on. Like, you don't want to barely get into a bowl game. Like, you don't want to need a Vanderbilt or a Kentucky win to get you to a bowl game. But, you know, I think them ending with 4 games at home is really going to push them. I think they have the possibility to like maybe win like 8 games here, but I think realistically 7, I would say 7-8.
Yeah, let's solidly make a bowl game, and you have a real chance to win 4 straight at the end of the year.
I think them and Kentucky should have like maybe similar goals of being that team right outside of Georgia and Tennessee.
So
North Carolina to start the year should be a good game.
Yeah.
We'll see how good Drake May is this upcoming
year.
So the next team, 4th toughest schedule in the SEC, Vanderbilt. Now, any schedule you look at for Vanderbilt, it's going to look pretty rough. But so they got Hawaii week 1.
They have 2 bye weeks.
Yeah, so they have Hawaii week 1. They beat them last year. Let's see if they can do that again. Alabama A&M at home, then they go to Wake Forest, then they travel all the way across the country to Las Vegas, play UNLV. They get Kentucky and Missouri at home. at Florida, Georgia, then they have a bye week, then at Ole Miss, Auburn, at South Carolina, another bye week, and then at Tennessee, November 25th. So I think the reason for those two bye weeks is because they actually start a week earlier than the other teams. They start on August 26th with that game at Hawaii. But for Vanderbilt, if they make a bowl game, that is a massive season. If you have another season like last year where you get to five wins, especially with the teams on this, like, you want to win all those out-of-conference games, minus Wake Forest. We don't really know how good Wake Forest is going to be this year. But if you can at least get three out of four there, somehow get three wins to make it to a bowl game, that's a great season. But, like, at least get to, you know, back up to, like, five wins.
Yeah, come on, Ben. Yeah. Let's make a bowl game. Yeah. This could be crazy. This would be hype. You could finally get a game on ESPN2 or even ESPNU. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird, I will say. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off, Nick, there. But, like, it is kind of – they have a really interesting – the fact that they go to Wake Forest and then to UNLV is kind of bizarre. But I think I'll agree with you guys. Just push for a bowl game, see what happens. Yep. Have some fun.
But, you know,
study hard.
Even if you don't, even if you don't make that bowl game, if you're still, you know, if you still win, you know, four or five games with that schedule, like, that's still.
If you get like multiple SEC wins, like
you might,
that would be remarkable.
I mean, you might, you know, you got, you know, Missouri at home. That's the one you need, and then
Maybe
Auburn home. Maybe, I don't know. That's a little rough.
Hugh Freeze gets fired.
We don't know. Look, I'm just going with, I don't really know what they can do on the road. Their home games are Georgia, Auburn, Missouri. Those are their SEC home games, and
you can maybe win one.
You might get Missouri. I don't think you beat Georgia or Auburn, but, you know, we'll see how you
imagine first year. Vanderbilt beats Georgia. That could be really something. Yeah. I think UNLV is a bit of a trap game.
Also Kentucky at home, my bad. But, you know,
that's going to be a tough game after just playing on the road at Wake Forest. And then Tennessee the week before midterms, that's got to be tough. I mean, like, come on.
Is that midterms or finals?
Finals. Yeah, the week before finals.
No, you phrased it wrong. That's the week before the SEC championship for Vandy.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
They're booking tickets to Atlanta.
Playoff caliber.
Book your plane tickets now. Let's see.
Got one left.
Yes. All right. Missouri's the last one, right?
And Florida.
And Florida. Oh. Okay, we got two more. All right. So let's go down Missouri.
Am I Missouri?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I just wanted to make – Missouri actually has a very interesting schedule. South Dakota to open up the year is not interesting. Middle Tennessee's not interesting. But Kansas State in Missouri is going to be kind of a old school Big 12 type of game. Memphis at home.
No.
What?
In St. Louis, I have here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. That is right. Sorry. I missed that. In the dome. All right.
Interesting.
It is in Missouri, though, so it kind of is at home for them.
I think Memphis wins that one.
Then they go to Vanderbilt. Then they have LSU at home, at Kentucky, South Carolina. Then they have a bye week. Then at Georgia, Tennessee at home, Florida at home, and then at Arkansas. I think kind of the same thing we've said for a couple of these teams, like, just maybe 6-7 wins, get to a bowl game. I think that should be your goal.
You're forgetting. This is the same guy with losing records, got a contract extension. So if he makes a bowl game, he is there for life.
He might get a raise. he makes a bowl game. I don't really have much to say about Missouri. Like,
I mean,
you know, painfully mid is how I describe them, and that's what I'm expecting.
I think they could win six games. It's just going to be very hard because they have a pretty rough. I mean, to have like LSU at home, Florida at home, like that, Tennessee at home, even like that's a tough home slate to get through. So.
All right, final one, real quick. Florida. Yikes. We got Utah on the road, then McNeese. I don't even know where that is. Tennessee at home, Charlotte at home, at Kentucky, Vanderbilt at home, at South Carolina, the bye, Georgia in Jacksonville, then Arkansas at home, at LSU, at Missouri, and then Florida State at home to end the season. This is a pretty tough schedule.
My first thought, McNeese is in Louisiana.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yep.
I want to look up the but hold on. I'm going to look up some McNeese facts.
So what is the Florida expectation, you know, especially after last year, you know?
I'm going to be honest. Like, week one, Utah might destroy them.
That's going to be
– the way that they acted after beating Utah last year, like, Utah might want to – might go into Salt Lake – or not go into it. They're in Salt Lake City. But they might go into that game thinking, like, hey, we want to beat these guys by, like, 30 points. I think for Florida, like, Billy Napier, I think you have to win one of your, like, big games if you're at Florida. Like, I think you have to win one of I don't think you'll beat Georgia, but, you know, if you win that, that'll get you some cred. Florida State will get you cred. I think, like, 8 wins is, like, the expectation for them.
Yeah, I'm putting them kind of in that same category with, like, Kentucky for this year. Like, you want to get to 8 wins. You want to be in that, like, third spot. But, it, like, either one of those, like, it could, you know, swap.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, Billy Napier kind of being on a, maybe not a hot seat, but a warm seat. You know, it's starting to get a little toasty.
Their questions.
You need to make a bowl game. You need to go positive this year. Like, you need to have a good record. And then if you don't, like, solidly make a bowl game this year, you know, like you were saying, Adam, you could be looking at a bit of a hot seat, especially if you have a really bad year. Like, say if you went more than 2 or 3 games under 500, that would be rough. Yeah.
And then if he goes into the portal, adds a quarterback, and then they still have an offense that struggles, and it's like, oh, this is the guy that you went and plucked out of there, you know?
That could be tough.
Yeah, it's like, Dan Mullen would lose these games in a heartbeat.
Quick fact, McNeese's stadium, Cowboy Stadium, is known as The Hole.
That is awesome.
Why don't they play there?
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Home
and home. You go to the swamp, then the hole.
17,000 fans in the hole.
Interesting.
Not terrible. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got our beefs of the week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Minutes or so of the college football wrap-up show here on 90.7 The Capstone. It's back once again, everyone's favorite segment, Beef of the Week. It's pretty much permanently coming back at this point.
Yes.
So who wants to start?
I'll leave the floor open to you guys.
I'll go first. My Beef of the Week is this stupid weather. You know, it all started, really before our – well, we didn't have a show last week. But so last Sunday, I went to men's tennis against Auburn. And, you know, I checked the weather beforehand, and it's like, oh, it's only 67. Oh, that's fine. I go out there. That was the hottest 67 degrees I've ever felt in my life. I'm like, this has got to be wrong. I check it again. Still at 67. You know, then we have a couple of days with some rain, with some wind. Now it's getting hot again. I went out to the baseball game today. I put on sunscreen. I reapplied. I'm a redhead. I'm going to burn. But, after this whole week, just the different stuff that we've been through, the wind, the rain, and now the sun, I'm not a fan.
Truly get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, everything's mixed.
You know, I didn't know what I wanted to do this week. One thing I will say, quick mea culpa to Whataburger. We didn't have a show last week or I would have shouted it out. I did go in and I got my food very quickly. So a true accomplishment.
All right.
You know, you can really tell that my words have had a strong impact on the Whataburger on McDonald's.
They were listening.
So, you know, I take credit. You know, send me fan mail. I don't know. Actually, don't do that. That could be terrible. Look, my beef of the week is it's kind of a strange one. I've got to kind of explain it. I realize that I'm a fan of basically the Cowboys times two. So I'm really into esports. And so Sentinels, they're a team that plays, they're a Valorant team, and they used to be really good. They were the first, like, champions of this game. And now they're in Cowboys mode, which is basically where they're going to show you, like, a little flash every once in a while, but they're going to be like perennially trash now. But the hope is still always there, and it has the most annoying fan base.
I'm so sorry.
Kind of an interesting beef of the week, but it was painful to realize today that I'm a fan of multiple Cowboys-esque teams, which is tough.
Wow.
So. Are you also a Yankees fan?
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank God.
It's
good thing though your Lakers won today.
Oh, God. No, I'm not a Lakers fan. I will not claim that. I am a San Antonio Spurs fan.
Yeah, that's rough.
It's rough this year. It used to be really nice.
So mine, it's targeted at a very specific individual, Patrick Cantlay, professional golfer. So last week was the Masters. And Patrick Cantlay was really nowhere to be necessarily seen towards the top. He finished 3-under par. John Rahm won at 12-under par. Brooks Koepka was 8-under par after kind of a rough fourth round. But Patrick Cantlay was wasting everybody's time just going up, probably practice swinging like 4, 5, 6, 7 times, like the epitome of one. I think when you tell, like, it's kind of the same thing with baseball, but like when you tell somebody, oh yeah, like I watch golf, they imagine Patrick Cantlay playing golf because he's taking practice shots. He's like adjusting his equipment. He's reading the lines. And it's like, dude, like no one's here to see you respectfully. Like, I get it. You're a professional golfer. You want to finish really well. But you're like, you finished tied for 14th, you know, 9-under or nine strokes off the top. Just, you know, hurry up. You know, like there's got to be some sort of, maybe not a penalty, but something. Like somebody's got to egg him on.
So this is super valid. I'm glad that you brought this up. Patrick Cantlay's pace of play is a real problem, and pace of play in the game of golf has been a problem for years now. They don't do anything about it.
I had a pitch clock.
They don't enforce it. They actually tried this on the European Tour. They used to have a literal cart with a clock on it. Like, I think they called it the Shot Clock Masters, and there was like literally like you had 30 seconds from the time it was your time to hit to go.
Oh.
There was a kid, I will not name names just for sake of whatever, but I know exactly who I'm talking about. On my high school golf team, who was exactly like this, but about 10 times worse. He was the slowest player I've ever played with, to the point that we used to intentionally send him out with we used to play him in our number one spot when we would play other teams so that he would make the best player on the other team really mad because of how slow he would play. So it was a little bit of mind games. Truly, you never wanted to play with him.
Yeah.
Nice guy, but the slowest golfer you've ever met.
The thing that, I mean, I get the whole attitude of you really want to finish high because, I mean, in golf, you know, you don't necessarily get, like, if he was 1 or 2 strokes better, he actually finishes, I think, 9th instead of tied for 14th. So, I mean, like, and that's probably a difference of a decent chunk of change. So, like, I do understand that aspect, but I mean, he was like absurdly slow, and it just made me mad because I was like, you know, like nobody, like, you know, I had people texting me. They were like, hey, watching the Masters? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, God, like people who I know who just never watch golf except for the Masters are like, this Cantlay guy is awful for this game. So it's just bad for the sport, just trying to get people to watch it. So, yeah, Patrick Cantlay is my beef of the week.
Valid. I like that beef of the week.
Yeah.
Anybody got anything else they want to say before we call tonight?
I think I'm going to save it for our next show.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So look forward to that next week. We will be here next week, not like last week. Pulled a quick one on y'all. We are actually having a show next week. So we'll see you then. And I think that's going to be our last show of the semester.
Could be.
Got to tune into that one.
Yes.
Same time here on 90.7 next week. Thank you for joining us.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.